CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Welcome back to Fire It Up with CJ. Today we have Dr. Suzanne Goh, and she's a pediatric neurologist, and Susan DeLand. They are the co-authors of Spectacular Bond, Reaching the Child with Autism. I'm Cassandra, and I'm here with you today. And you can find more information on our guests on CJ's website, Fire It Up with CJ. You can click on the name of the topic of the show, and you can get more guest information and how to contact them. And if you want to contact them and you miss something, you can always go to CJ's Facebook, and that's Fire It Up with CJ. And you can contact her there, and she can get you in touch with our guests.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thank you, Cassandra. Such a fascinating topic, and so much that we still don't know and that we do know. And what was great about the last segment is what Suzanne said, which is that we're learning more and more, and that there is hope on the way, especially for children children who have autism right now, because there's just more and more discoveries. So we're going to be talking about some of those discoveries and what Dr. Goh has learned in terms of her state-of-the-art clinic that focuses on this area. And then we're going to be talking about treatment plans, because I think once you actually have the diagnosis, we have Susan DeLand, who is a parent who just kicked into action. She went and she, like, made it happen. And so, Susan, I wanted to go back. I'm going to go reverse a little bit. In the last segment, I said, so what would be the advice that you would give parents who may have recently received a diagnosis of autism?
I think that the first thing is to, allow yourself to be, to grieve a bit for a minute. Mm-hmm. But then to soon thereafter seek out other parents. I found that they were the most useful people for me to speak with, because they knew exactly mm-hmm. what I was going through. Mm-hmm. And then from there, start to analyze the various treatment options and figure out what makes sense for you and your family and what your gut tells you. Use your mama gut to figure mm-hmm. out which one is the best.
Okay, so there are tons of treatment plans, and Dr. Goh was mentioning at the end of the segment, there are diets, there are vitamins you can take, there's all sorts of new discoveries. I mean, how did you triage all this? Because, and I don't know if there are as many options when you were looking, Susan, as there are now, but how did you
just 10 years ago, there weren't quite as many options. I remember, like I said, I called a lot of other moms, and I asked what they had done. I took advice from our school district about things that New York State and Westchester County, where I live, offered in terms of facilities that offered therapists. Mm-hmm. I did a ton of reading. I used the internet and went to speak to a lot of different doctors. And like I said, I was lucky to run into the folks at Columbia University and quite soon after Diane's diagnosis, and it all kind of made sense to me once I heard their approach.
Yeah, and so there's, I mean, I saw one where there was a kid submerged in water. I mean, it was just like all these different light therapies, all these different things. I mean, Suzanne, do you have any, and I know that you actually have the state-of-the-art clinic. What have you learned in terms of what things work, what things don't? What's kind of the latest and greatest in terms of medical research in this area?
Sure. So the way that as we said earlier, this can easily become very overwhelming just because
yeah.
there are so many treatment options now available. So the way I like to approach it is to first categorize the different treatment options and then really prioritize.
Okay.
So I categorize them according to medical or what's sometimes called biomedical therapies and mm-hmm. then behavioral or educational. So mm-hmm. those are the kind of the two categories.
Mm-hmm.
And in some kids, you know, who are very physically ill frequently, the medical approach is the priority. But in other kids whose physical health is quite good, which was the case with Susan's daughter Diane, the priority is the behavioral and the educational.
Mm, Okay, got it. And this is because you're saying that sometimes there's gastroimmune system type of thing, so that would be a case in which the medical stuff would be more the priority versus it's just a behavioral thing. And what are kind of the behavioral things that you would see that you think, okay, these are the behaviors that I'm going to focus on, and what are all the different approaches within each of these two segments?
Yeah, so, you know, within the behavioral approach, some of the challenging behaviors that, you know, children can have are you know, frequent self-stimulatory behaviors, you know, behaviors that really kind of tune them out from the world. So they're very involved in self-stimulation and really aren't open to learning from others. So tuning out, you know, being very withdrawn is also another challenging behavior to overcome. And then, of course, language and cognition. So language, you know, trying to help them advance to higher and higher levels of both receptive and expressive language. And although this one piece that's not often thought of as behavioral, but I kind of group it in that category, is sensory symptoms. So if a child is hypersensitive and easily overwhelmed by, you know, things like sounds and sights, all the things that we sort of take for granted, have trouble with, then you have to approach it in terms of ways of helping simplify that child's world so they aren't experiencing so much stress and anxiety.
Interesting. So then if you had, so are kids demonstrating varying degrees of each of these things? So maybe one kid focuses mostly on self-simulating. Some people are most about tuning out. Some have language. Are they, because of it, this whole spectrum idea, I assume that people will kind of have different severity of each of these things. Is that right? Or is it, okay, so then you would kind of focus on, is that how you would triage or prioritize which program you'd look at?
That's absolutely right. And each child will have its own, the way that, you know, any particular child will have their own medical profile of, you know, strengths and weaknesses, the same is true of their behavioral profile.
I see. Okay, so when you go in as a doctor, I assume that you're actually analyzing them based on, like, some, you know, average and where they are relative to the average and whether they're really high on self-simulating or tuning out. Or is that how you evaluate?
Yes. Yep. And I do a, you know, a thorough evaluation of the different symptoms, and that helps to guide the treatment approach.
Okay, got it. And so the physical part, how's the physical part correlate with the behavioral stuff, and when would you focus on that? I know you said if you had immune stuff, gastro stuff, that would be the stuff that you'd focus on. Is that because the discomfort, like if they're uncomfortable, they're not going to be able to deal with anything?
Yes.
Is that the presumption?
And I think it's been really under-recognized, especially in a lot of the mainstream behavioral programs. They have, you know, understandably, they have a certain agenda and they have a certain curriculum that they really want the children to learn, but they don't realize that there are often a lot of medical issues going on that make a child uncomfortable, ill, or, you know, just really not able to engage in the learning process. And so those have to be addressed.
Right. And is that where the diets and vitamins that you talked in the previous segment, is that where, is that kick into the medical bio?
Yes. That's
okay.
A big piece of it. Nutrition. Nutrition is a very, very big part of any individual's health, but even more so for a child with autism.
Okay, and what are the, so is it just kind of the regular don't eat sugar, don't eat carbs, eat, not do, or is there anything more complicated than that?
Well, it varies. So, you know, different children have different nutritional needs depending on their own unique biology. But a good place, very simple and basic place to start is what makes up a healthy diet for any person, you know. Lots of organic fruits and vegetables, grass-fed meats, and staying away from processed foods.
Right. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so is there any, like, newest kind of updates, latest and greatest in terms of your state-of-the-art clinic that we need to know about or that you think parents should consider in their treatment plan?
Well, I think that, you know, there's so many pieces, it's a little hard to summarize, but there's a lot available to us now in terms of diagnostic tests, brain imaging, electrophysiology, and a lot of different genetic and metabolic tests, so you can really get a very detailed look at the child's biology. And that is, I think, that's always the first step. That plus a very thorough history about the child's symptoms and the family's a medical history, and from there you can develop a very targeted approach.
Yeah, because it seems to me like if once you start knowing what the genes and the various things that are actually causing us, a cure is potentially, right? I mean, the further you go down, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, the topic, there's a lot of debate about the idea of whether autism can be cured, whether recovery is possible, and is that partial or complete recovery? You know, this is a topic that has been debated a lot, and people have very different opinions about. But what I believe is that full recovery is possible, meaning that, you know, a child who once had the diagnosis no longer meets criteria for the diagnosis.
Wow.
I've certainly seen that in my own practice. But we don't really know for how many children that's possible.
Yeah.
So I think the right way to go about it is to really aim for as much improvement as you can on multiple fronts. But in a systematic and thoughtful way, so that it's not overwhelming to the family or to the child.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we actually have co-authors of Spectacular Bond, Reaching the Child with Autism, and in the next segment we're going to learn more about the specific program that Dr. Goh and Susan and Deland has put together. We'll be right back.